My feelings mutual, Brother Darvin. Good to see you all. It's an honor to be asked to preach the gospel. Just to preach the gospel is a great honor, isn't it, Brother David? But when a man asks you to preach in his pulpit, he's showing some measure of confidence in your message, and I don't take that trust lightly. I don't want to betray that trust. I am going to, by God's grace, preach the gospel. And let me say again, and last time I was here I said this, but I how much I love your pastor and appreciate him. We do go back a long way. I was looking at some old photographs, and I found one of him and myself, and I took a snapshot of it and sent it to him. Well, he blew it up an 8x10 and sent me a copy, and you've got a copy at the house.
You knew that when you're only 20,
man. Yeah. And what amazed me is how old you have become, and I haven't changed. But boy, that's an eye opener, isn't it? Look at that picture. That was yesterday, wasn't it? I remember standing there talking to you just at a Bible conference, I believe, or something. But thankful, and I know you're thankful for him. What a gift a true, faithful preacher of the gospel is, pastor. I see you nodding your head. I'm glad about that. And he is a right good preacher. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Brother Darvin and I attended the church together where my father was pastor. We both went through a school, as you probably know, a preacher's class. And Darvin, do you remember Dad saying, you need to write at the top of your notes, K-I-S-S. Remember that? K-I-S-S. Keep it simple. Stupid. Keep it simple. Stupid. You remember that? Well, I hope to make this simple. I hope this should be very plain and very simple. The gospel is very plain. The truth is very plain. Salvation is not something simple, though. It's an amazing, marvelous, miraculous, supernatural. Takes the all-powerful work of God. John Newton one time called it the greatest stroke of genius ever. The gospel. The salvation. Not simple. But it can be simply stated. I can do it in 5 words. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. There are 5 words. Foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified. And the Lord does all that. I can do it in 3 words. Christ is all. Very simple. In this text, Matthew 9, did I tell you to turn to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9. In this story, very plain, very simple, 32 words, one verse, 32 words, mostly one and two syllable words. That's the way our Lord spoke, didn't it? One and two syllable words. Look at verse 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And this is Matthew's story, and this is my story, and this is salvation. Verse 9, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. I have entitled this a two-word sermon. There are nine two-word phrases we're going to break this down into. Brother David one time preached an even simpler message. One. Great message. Salvation is one. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One hope of your calling. One. And it's in one person. One. Well, I'm going to use two words. All right? Very simply. Verse 9, it says, as Jesus passed forth from them. Jesus passed. Who is this? Who is this that passed through this land, who walked this planet? Jesus? That's his earthly name, isn't it? But he existed long before he came here, long before a body was given to him. This is the God who made this earth. He walked on his earth, on this planet. He was in the world, John 1 says. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Most just thought of him as a man, then and now, don't they? That's why they refer to him simply as Jesus. God's people refer to him as he is, the Lord Jesus. One time he said to his disciples, you call me Lord and Master, because they knew who he was. They didn't until he revealed himself to them. And no one does until he reveals himself to them. But this is Emmanuel. This is God with us. God Almighty walked this earth. He walked this planet. He passed through this planet. He came with a purpose. He came with a preordained will and purpose to this earth, sent by his Father to save his people. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came. This is the God who made this earth, who came into this earth to save a lost people. This is the great shepherd of the sheep who came into this world, sent by the Father, given a people, given a sheep who were chosen by him before the foundation of the world. He said, I am come to seek and to save my lost sheep. He said, my sheep are going to hear my voice and follow me. This is Matthew's story. This is my story. This is every one of God's sheep's story. This is your story, right? This is your story. This is how he saved you. He called you by his grace. He passed. Look at the next two words. From thence. Verse 9. Jesus passed from thence. He passed through. He came and he left. Now, up in verse 1, this was Capernaum. Came into his own city, it said. Came into his world, his own world. And his own received him not, his creature. But he came to Capernaum and spent so much time there. What was Capernaum? Where was Capernaum? Do you know where Capernaum is? I bet you don't know where Capernaum is. You'd have to look at the map, wouldn't you? It's such a small, insignificant place. It's like Louisville, Arkansas. It's like Rocky Mount, Virginia. Like Sylacauga. What did you say Sylacauga meant?
Buzzard's roost.
An insignificant place in Galilee. That's what people say. There's nothing good. Nazareth. He grew up in Nazareth. God came to this earth. Where did he choose to dwell? To whom did he go to live with and to reveal himself to? Capernaum, Louisville, Arkansas. Wasn't that gracious of him? What a blessing. How blessed is this little place of Louisville, Arkansas, in it? Not Little Rock, Louisville. Roanoke, Virginia, a large town just above us. As far as I know, there's no gospel there. But he came to Rocky Mount, Virginia, a little two-bit place, 4,500 people. Aren't we blessed that the gospel come here? But it doesn't stay. He passed from them. Right? All those churches in the Revelation, they're gone. To God. Don't take this for granted. A little while later, he said, woe unto thee, Capernaum, didn't he? Woe unto thee, Capernaum. He left. He passed from thence. Don't take this for granted. Let us not take this for granted. All right, here's Matthew's story, and here's my story. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to all of God's people. Look at it. Two words. It says, it came to pass, verse 9, Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw. Two words. He saw a man. Who saw who? Who's looking for who? Matthew wasn't looking for him. Matthew's got his head down counting his money. Matthew's a publican. His money was his life. Making money was his life. He wasn't looking up. He's looking down. Somebody's looking at him. He saw. When did our Lord first see Matthew? Before the world began. He had his heart set on, his mind, his will, his covenant. Everything about Matthew was preordained before he had any existence. The Lord Jesus Christ set his love and affection on this fella. Well, who is this fella? He's a publican. Not Republican. Just as bad. Or Democrat. Worse. When they talked about the worst people on earth, they talked about publicans first and sinners, meaning harlots and lowlifes. Okay. Nobody looked like publican. Cheat his own mother. The Lord Jesus Christ chose this man before the foundation of the world and came to this earth looking for him. And he finds his sheep wherever he puts them. He found a woman at the well. He found a man, another publican, up a tree. One of the brethren preached a message, up a tree on purpose. He put old Zacchaeus up a tree. Had that tree planted years and years before that. Somebody tried to cut it down. He wouldn't let it. Why? He's going to have a fella sitting up in that tree waiting on him to pass by. He saw this man. The Lord Jesus Christ laid his eyes on this man. It was a big crowd. Big crowd, lots of people. Probably several more publicans there. Rowdy crowd. Son of God fixed his eyes on one man. He saw a man. One man. Matthew didn't see him. You could say, and this was my salvation. You could say, Matthew would say, I never saw it coming. He wasn't looking for him. I wasn't looking for him. Bless God, he's looking for his people. He finds them. He came to seek and to save the lost. They're not looking for him, but he's looking for them. Oh, my. Matthew, oh, this is his favorite. This is Matthew's favorite verse in all the Bible. This is his story. This is how the Lord came and found him and called him from darkness to light. This could be said like the child in Ezekiel 16. You know that story of the child in Ezekiel? Where the Lord, that child was thrown out, polluted in its own blood and its filth and all that. And the Lord said, when I passed by, I saw you. I looked upon you, polluted in your own blood. This was a time of love. This is Matthew's time of love. Matthew didn't love him, but the Lord loved Matthew then. And he set his affection, had his affection set on Matthew. And he said, this is the time he's going to live. This is when Matthew's going to start to live. This is his new birth. He's going to be born again. He saw a man. Two words. A man. Now, when you and I look at some people, we might be impressed. Right? You might be impressed. You look at beautiful people, you know, a handsome man or a beautiful woman. You might be impressed. Or a seemingly wise man or wise woman or a big, strong man. What does God see when he looks at mankind? Psalm 14 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any that he'd understand. If there are any that seek God, he said, there's none. None that doeth good. None righteous. It went on to say they're altogether what? Filthy. Stinking. That's what God says about mankind by nature. By nature. I may have told you this story, but it meant something to me. Back several years ago when I was gardening a lot, had raised beds like Brother Darvin, I heard that worms were good for the soil, you know. So I sent off. I paid $49.95 for a big bag of worms. You think I'm crazy? No. Paid good money for worms. This is a good illustration. They're not worth purchasing. The worm, you know, I got 2,000 worms, and they came in a little gunny sack, you know, and I opened it up, and it was a despicable sight. They were raw, crawling, and writhing all over you. You wouldn't put them in your hand. Well, I did. I picked them up. And I immediately thought, that's the world. That's what God said, writhing and wriggling, a mass of corruption. You know what worms are? Dirt. They live in the dirt. They eat dead things. They hate light. I made them a house, a worm house. I was really good to them. Paid for them, made them a house. Went and checked on them. Well, that's mercy, and that's grace, isn't it? Put them in this house, and every time I'd open up the lid, they hated the light, die for darkness. That's mankind, isn't it? Light came into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. The Creator came. He said, "The ox knows his owner, the ass knows his master crib, but my people don't even know me, don't consider, don't care." We're a despicable creature, aren't we? The rest of the creation doesn't sin. They groan because of man's sin. Man's a despicable creature. God ought to wipe him out. But God, rich in mercy, he saw a man. He set his eyes on this one man. A man. How many people were there that day? Is this not sovereign election? Huh? He set his eyes on a man, one man. Is he going to get him? Is he going to come away with him? Yes, sir. Amen. All right, look at the next two words. Named Matthew. He's named Matthew. This is significant. Nothing insignificant in God's word. He saw a man named Matthew. Then the word Matthew, the name Matthew, comes from the Hebrew word Mattathias, okay, which means a gift of God. That's what it means, doesn't it? Okay? Years and years, Matthew's 30 or 40 years old or maybe older, we don't know. But 30 or 40 years before this, Alphaeus and his wife were expecting a child. And they had a baby boy, and they were so thankful, and perhaps Alphaeus was a believer, but they named him Matthew, Mattathias, a gift of God. God has given us this child. Well, long before God gave this child to Alphaeus and his wife, he gave this boy to Jesus Christ in a covenant before the world began. He named him. God named him. Gift of God. Gift to who? Christ. Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Wait, you'll see. He's coming. Christ came for him, came to live for him, came to die for him. He ever lives now for him. And he's going to call him. He's going to call this man. Just like all of the people that God chose, all the sheep that God gave to Jesus Christ, they're going to hear his voice and they're going to come when he calls. They're going to come. Matthew's mighty thankful for sovereign election. Like I said, he didn't see it coming. He wasn't looking, wasn't calling, counting his money. But God had him written on the palms of his hand, a gift of God, long before the world began. Bless God for his sovereign election. People argue against sovereign election, don't you? Well, if I believe that, you'd what? You'd thank God. Wouldn't you? And why preach? That's exactly why we preach it. Because we know he has an elect. And we know he's chosen by the foolishness of preaching. And he said, "My sheep are going to hear my voice. They're going to follow me." Like this man. Matthew, his elect. All right, he saw a man. Now look at the next two words. Actually, more than two, but I'm going to break them down into two. Verse 9. Sitting at the receipt of custom. He's sitting at the receipt of custom, meaning he's counting money. That's what he's doing. He's counting money. Or you could say he's sitting in his customary seat. This is where you'd always find him, in his customary seat. Every day, day in, day out, he came here to count that money. It was his life. Just like Simon and Andrew and James and John, those boats and those nets were his life. Their life, weren't they? They loved those. They loved the sea. They loved the boats. They loved the net. They didn't love God. They had no interest in God. You can't preach the gospel, Brother Darwin, without saying, but God. Ephesians 2, and you, verse 4, but God. There it is. There's the gospel in two words. Isn't it? And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You walked according to the course of this world, like Matthew, but God, rich in mercy, chose you and came for you. Sitting in his customary seat. If Christ hadn't come this day, he would have sat right there till he died. Maybe died of a heart attack. His head fall over in that money. It's happened many times. I know a man who was playing poker with a bunch of his friends. This was a son of members of the church where I grew up. Okay, he never came to worship service. Sitting there playing poker with all his buddies, you know, and just having a big old time. And his friend right beside him dropped dead. His head fell on his card right there. And it shook this man up. Well, you know what happened. He started coming to church. But it didn't last. It didn't last. But if God hadn't come for me, I'd have died doing what I was doing. Some of you are in the business world. Some of you are in the whatever. Various things were your life. But God came and called you by his grace. Called you. His customary seat. Now picture this. This is a true story. And this is my story. Here's this man, publican. He's sitting where he always sat, doing what he always did, day in and day out, what he loved to do, make money. He's rich. Publican's got rich. Rich. He has a nice home. He has horses, chariots perhaps, all the finest clothes, savings perhaps. He has no thought of God, no thoughts of eternity. And he has no idea who it is looking at him at this moment. He has no idea. The Lord of glory has come for this despicable man. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that God would even think on him, let alone visit him? You know, when the gospel came to you, when Christ came and called you by the gospel, when the gospel came to this place and you came here, it wasn't of your own will or choice, or the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is there of the Lord. You came and God called you by his grace, called you by the gospel. Do you understand how blessed you are among women and men and women that if you believe this gospel, that Jesus Christ chose you to call you by his gospel, to call you out of darkness into light? Huh? Oh, how blessed. How blessed. Now, this was not a day. Matthew didn't say a word here. Did you notice? Christ didn't ask him a question, and Matthew didn't say a word. In fact, Matthew doesn't say anything through all the gospels. There's not one word quoted by Matthew. I think Matthew thought he was such a sinner, publican. Don't quote me, Lord. Quote Simon, not me. Nothing. Matthew didn't say anything here. The Lord did all the speaking. The Lord did the calling. This was not the day that Matthew made a decision. The Lord had made this decision before the world began. This was not a day that Matthew lets Jesus into his heart. This is a day the Lord gives him a new heart. This is salvation. This is how it happened. This is a day the Lord comes to him and calls him. Not the day that he accepts him as his personal Savior. This is the day he finds out he's accepted in the Beloved. That God came for him. My, my. Matthew never says a word. The Lord didn't ask him anything. The Lord doesn't ask. Kings don't ask anything. They give commands. No. I bet you Matthew later on had one of his favorite verses was, "Thou hast given commandment to save man. Almighty love, arrest that man. Go after that man. Knock old Mephibosheth. Fetch him. Fetch him." All right, look at that. Look at the next two words. Verse 9. He saw him sitting at in his customary seat, and he saith, Christ spoke. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke. If he doesn't speak to you, you won't live. If you don't hear the gospel, you won't be saved. It's the call of the gospel. Paul thanked God for the Thessalonians. He said, "I'm bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Nobody saved apart from hearing his voice. And the voice of Christ is the voice of the gospel in it. The preaching of the gospel. Nobody is saved apart from hearing the gospel. Nobody. And Christ speaks to every one of his sheep. He speaks to them. He saith, this is the one, as I said, in the beginning, God. This is the one in the beginning that created the heavens and the earth. And it says, God spoke. God said, let there be light. Was there any possibility there won't be light? Did he ask the light to be light? Let him be light. He spoke. He said, let there be light. Now he's going to be speaking to this man. And he's going to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to know as he'd been known. And he saith, two words, unto him. He said, look at it, two words. He saith, he spoke to Matthew. The Lord's got to speak to you, doesn't it? Unto him. Unto him. I grew up, it's hard to remember where you tell all your stories, you know. But that's okay. This is my story. Matthew went around telling this story all the time. This is my story. It's Matthew. It's my story. This is my story. I wasn't looking for him. Bless God, he was looking for me. I wasn't calling. Bless God, he called me. I didn't choose him. I rejected him. Bless God, he chose me. I heard message after message. I grew up. I'm a preacher's kid. I've heard more preaching than anybody in the world. Just about. I've told you this. We took our vacations from birth, took our vacations to places like Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I didn't want to go. It's the last place on earth I wanted to go for my vacation. But we went there. My dad would preach, and various men would preach. Barnard and Griswold and all these fellows. We'd go to Silicon, Alabama. That's the second last place I wanted to go. And on, Madisonville. They took me there. Why? Is that cruel and unusual punishment? No, it's mercy. It's grace. They knew that the scriptures alone are able to make me wise unto salvation. Hoping, praying that God will speak through his word to this dead sinner. I have no privilege because I'm a preacher's kid. Although I'm more accountable for things I heard. Salvation is by mercy and grace. And he spoke to me. I rejected it, thumbs down. I'm the prodigal son. I left. I want out of here. I renounced everything my dad was preaching. When I was 18, 19, 20 years old. Renounced it. Told all my friends. I can disprove all that. You're looking at an object of God's mercy. And then one day, He brought me back and sat me down under the gospel again. He spoke to me. I remember. I remember. Everybody can't remember, but you don't need to remember, do you? But I do remember. Dad was holding a meeting in Danville, Kentucky, before Don went there. He's holding a meeting there, and a couple from the church was going there, and their son, who was, we were good friends, and they said they were going to a steakhouse before that, and they asked me if I wanted to come. Yeah, steakhouse, great. So I went with them. Walter, that's my dad up there preaching. About halfway through that message, it wasn't my dad speaking. It wasn't my dad speaking to me. Like Samuel. Is the Lord speaking to me? He said to him. He spoke to him. He spoke to Matthew. We know a Matthew that we sure hope and pray the Lord speaks to him, don't we? That's his only hope, isn't it? Spoke to him. What did he say? What did he say? How much do you have to hear to be saved, be born again? Huh? Two words. Look at it. Two words. Look at it. Verse 9. Follow me. That's all he said to Simon. That's all he said to Andrew. That's all he said to James. That's all he said to John. Didn't he? Follow me. Where the word of a king is, there's power. Now I know he said much more after that. But buddy, there's so much in this, in those two words. Follow me. Follow me. Matthew was following the world. Matthew was following his dreams. Matthew maybe was following whatever. But our Lord said, follow me. Follow me. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? It's someone who follows Jesus Christ. It's someone who's been called by his gospel and believes and trusts and hopes and looks to Christ as his all and in all. Looks to his blood as his sin payment, his righteousness as his righteousness before God. He looks to Christ as his only hope of acceptance with a holy God. He follows Christ. He believes Christ. She believes Christ. She loves Christ. She follows him. That person is a disciple, a student in the school of Christ. They follow him. They don't follow the world. They don't follow man. They're not listening to man. They're listening to Jesus Christ. They don't follow their dreams. They don't follow their tradition. They don't follow man. They don't follow the world. They don't follow the denomination. They follow Jesus Christ. He's the one in it. He's the one that bled. Follow me. Follow me. Look at this. Verse 9. He arose. Two words. He arose. He got up from that, where all that money was. How much money was there? In Luke's gospel is this account different. It says, same account, but it says he left all. Two words, left all. He arose. We're dead in trespasses and sin until he calls us into life, calls us to follow him. Matthew was dead in trespasses and sin. And Christ, this is the living word, the word of Christ, the voice of Christ. And he called and he arose like old Lazarus, no less than Lazarus. He arose when Christ called. He arose, left all. Now, this is a miracle. Who could get a man to leave all his money to follow a penniless preacher? Huh? The whole world said, that's a rabbi. You know, if Matthew had seen him before, Matthew, you know, wasn't looking. Christ looked. But if he had seen him, this thing wasn't done in the corner. Everybody heard of this Jewish rabbi named Jesus of Nazareth. If he had seen him, there was no beauty in him that he desired him. He may have heard him on the Sermon on the Mount, but it didn't impress him. He's interested in money. But But buddy, when Christ came finally and spoke to him, he left everything. Like James and John had left their father, left their boats, left their nets. Christ is their life now. Who follows Christ? It's those that leave father, mother, husband, wife, son, daughter, houses, land. Nobody or anything is worth Jesus Christ. He becomes your life. What does that mean? It means the worship of Christ, the people of Christ, the kingdom of Christ. Someone claims to believe Christ and they don't come hear the gospel. They don't believe Jesus Christ. Wherever Christ was, that's where Matthew was. Wherever Christ's disciples were, that's where Matthew was. That's who a follower of Jesus Christ did. He arose, left all, and did what? One thing. His whole life consists of one thing, two words. Followed him. Where are you going? Followed him. Followed him. Right? Oh, my. Thank the Lord. You know, wherever the Lord was, Matthew was. That's where he wanted to be. He used to follow the crowd. Now he's following Christ. He used to follow the stock market. Now he has treasures in heaven. Oh, he used to love the world and thing. Now he loves and longs for the Lord Jesus Christ. He used to be a companion of thieves and fools. Now he's with them that love his Lord. He's happy. He's content. He's at peace. I want to show you something in closing. Turn the page to chapter 10. This is Matthew's story. This is my story. This is your story. This is what he did for you, called you. Matthew never got over what the Lord did for him. He never lost sight of where the Lord found him, what he was. Never lost sight. Chapter 10 is when the Lord called his 12 disciples. Now look at this, verse 2. This is Matthew's account. You with me? This is Matthew's account. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican. He's ashamed of himself as a publican and a sinner, but he's glorying in the fact that Jesus Christ came to save a sinner like him. He never lost sight of the fact of who he was, what he was, and how that Jesus Christ came, set his eye on him, and called him by his grace. Just an old publican. Who are you, an apostle? No, I'm a publican. Amen.